Welcome to day 179 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are reading 1 Kings chapters 20 and 21 from the Amplified Bible. And here we will be more deeply introduced to Ahab and Jezebel, the most wicked of king and queen that Israel ever had. So beginning at 1 Kings chapter 20 and starting at verse 1. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army together. 32 kings were with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria, warring against it. He sent messengers into Samaria to Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, "Thus says Ben-Hadad, your silver and your gold are mine. Your wives and your children, even the fairest, also are mine." And the king of Israel answered and said, "My lord, O king, according to what you say, I am yours and all that I have." The messengers came again and said, "Thus says Ben-Hadad, although I have sent to you, saying, you shall deliver to me your silver, your gold, your wives, and your children, yet I will send my servants to you tomorrow about this time, and they shall search your house and the houses of your servants, and all the desire of your eyes they shall lay hands upon and take it away." Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, "Notice now and see how this man is seeking our destruction. He sent to me for my wives, my children, my silver, and my gold, and I did not refuse him." And all the elders and all the people said to him, "Do not heed him or consent." So he said to Ben-Hadad's messengers, "Tell my lord the king, all you first sent for to your servant I will do, but this thing I cannot do." And the messengers left. Then they brought him word again. Ben-Hadad sent to him and said, "May the gods do so to me and more also, if the rubbish of Samaria shall be enough for each one of all the people who are at my feet and follow me to get a handful." The king of Israel answered, "Tell him, let not him who girds on his harness boast as he who puts it off." When Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he and the kings were drinking in the booths, he said to his servants, "Set the army in array." And they set themselves in array against Samaria. Then a prophet came to Ahab, king of Israel, and said, "Thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today. And you shall know and realize that I am the Lord." Ahab said, "By whom?" And he said, "Thus says the Lord, by the young men, the attendants or bodyguards of the governors of the districts." Then Ahab said, "Who shall order the battle?" And he answered, "You." Ahab numbered the attendants of the governors of the districts, and they were 232. After them, he numbered all the people of the army of Israel, 7,000. And they went out at noon. But Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the booths, and he and the 32 kings who helped him. The servants of the governors of the districts went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, "There are men come out of Samaria." And he said, "Whether they have come out for peace or for war, take them alive." So these strong young guards of the governors of the districts went out of Samaria, and the army followed them. And each one killed his man. The Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. The king of Israel went out and smote the riders of the horses and chariots, and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. The prophet came to the king of Israel and said to him, "Go fortify yourself and become strong and give attention to what you must do, for at the first of next year the king of Syria will return against you." And the servants of the king of Syria said to him, Israel's gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they. And do this thing. Remove the kings, each from his place, and put governors in their stead. And muster yourself an army like the army you have lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. And we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he heeded their speech and did so. And at the return of the year, Ben-Hadad mustered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. The Israelites were counted, and all present went against them. The Israelites encamped before the enemy like two little flocks of lost kids, absolutely everything against them but Almighty God. But the Syrians filled the country. A man of God came and said to the king of Israel, "Thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, 'The Lord is God of the hills, but he's not God of the valleys,' therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into your hands, and you shall know and recognize by experience that I am the Lord." They encamped opposite each other 7 days. Then the battle was joined. And the Israelites slew of the Syrians 100,000 foot soldiers in 1 day. But the rest fled to the city of Aphek, and the wall fell upon 27,000 men who were left. Ben-Hadad fled into the city and from chamber to chamber. His servants said to him, "We have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us put sackcloth on our loins and ropes about our necks and go out to the king of Israel. Perhaps he will spare your life." So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their necks and came to the king of Israel and said, "Your servant Ben-Hadad says, 'I pray you, let me live.'" And King Ahab said, "Is he yet alive? He is my brother." Now the men took it as an omen, and they hastily took it up and said, "Yes, your brother, Ben-Hadad." Then the king said, "Go bring him." Then Ben-Hadad came forth to him, and the victorious king caused him to come up into the chariot. Ben-Hadad, tempting him, said, "The cities which my father took from your father I will restore, and you may maintain bazaars of your own in Damascus, as my father did in Samaria." Then said Ahab, "I will send you away on these terms." So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said to his neighbor, "At the command of the Lord, strike me, I pray you." And the man refused to strike him. Then said he to him, "Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as you have left me, a lion will slay you." And as soon as he departed from him, a lion found him and killed him. Then the prophet found another man and said, "Strike me, I pray you." And the man struck him, so that in striking him, he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for King Ahab by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, the prophet cried out to him, "Your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man to me and said, 'Keep this man. If for any reason he is missing, then your life shall be required for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver.' But while your servant was busy here and there, he was gone." And the king of Israel said to him, "Such is your own verdict. You yourself have decided it." The man hastily removed the ashes from his face, and Ahab, king of Israel, recognized him as one of the prophets. And he said to the king, "Thus says the Lord, because you have let go out of your hand the man I had devoted to destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life, and your people for his people." And King Ahab of Israel went to his house resentful and sullen, and came to Samaria. Chapter 21, verse 1. Now Naboth the Jezreelite had bought a vineyard in Jezreel, close beside the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And after these things, Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near my house. I will give you a better vineyard for it, or, if you prefer, I will give you its worth in money." Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you." And Ahab, already depressed by the Lord's message to him, came into his house more resentful and sullen because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him. For he had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. But Jezebel, his wife, came and said to him, "Why is your spirit so troubled that you eat no food?" And he said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or if you prefer, I'll give you another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" Jezebel, his wife, said to him, "Do you not govern Israel? Arise, eat food, and let your heart be happy. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent them to the elders and nobles who dwelt with Naboth in his city. And in the letters she said, "Proclaim a fast and set Naboth up high among the people, and set two men, base fellows, before him, and let them bear witness against him, saying, 'You cursed and renounced God and the king.' Then carry him out and stone him to death." And the men of his city, the elders and the nobles who dwelt there, did as Jezebel had directed in the letters sent them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. Two base fellows came in and sat opposite him, and they charged Naboth before the people, saying, "Naboth cursed and renounced God and the king." Then he was carried out of the city and stoned to death. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth has been stoned and is dead." Then Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to sell to you, for Naboth is not alive, but dead." When Ahab heard that, he arose to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, in Samaria. He is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to possess it. Say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession? Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your blood, even yours.'" And Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" And he answered, "I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. See, says the Lord, I will bring evil on you and utterly sweep away and cut off from Ahab every male, bond and free, and will make your household like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the household of Baasha, son of Ahijah, for the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin." Also the Lord said of Jezebel, "The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Any belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat, and any who dies in the field, the birds of the air shall eat. For there was no one who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Ahab, incited by his wife Jezebel. He did very abominably in going after idols, as had the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the Israelites." When Ahab heard those words of Elijah, he tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his flesh, fasted, lay in sackcloth, and went quietly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, Do you see how Ahab humbles himself before me? Because he humbles himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his lifetime, but in his son's day I will bring the evil upon his house. This is the end of today's scripture reading.
Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional.
In today's devotional, I want to focus on one verse that we heard that is a reference to the wickedness of Ahab and his wife Jezebel. You could sum up their lives with this single verse, verse 25 of 1 Kings chapter 21. It says, For there was no one who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Ahab, incited by his wife Jezebel. Now, we've talked about Ahab and his reputation in history, but today I want to focus on his wife, Jezebel. It says, No one did evil in the sight of the Lord to the degree that Ahab did, incited by his wife, Jezebel, influenced by his wife, Jezebel, prompted by his wife, Jezebel. This shows us the very strength of this domineering spirit that this woman had, who was so very ruthless and without a conscience. You may recall from our previous teaching that Jezebel was the daughter of the king of the Sidonians, and she was taken as a wife for King Ahab. But in Sidon, they worshipped Baal, and that false idol god, which actually the name could represent multiple different gods, but this was the worship. Baal worship was the prevalent worship of Moab and of Sidon, and then became a great rival to Judaism during the time of Ahab because of Jezebel's influence. And you heard the scripture read that Ahab was the king who sold himself to do more evil in the sight of the Lord of any king before him, incited or influenced by, prodded on by his wife Jezebel, this idol-worshipping woman with an iron will. In Baal worship, there were incense offerings and sacrifices of animals, and then even on special occasions, sad to say, the victims in the sacrifice were often children offered by their parents. So this was a wicked cult that was very prevalent because of the influence of Jezebel. But I want to talk about Jezebel's character, because truly there's an unclean spirit behind Jezebel, the historical figure Jezebel, and that spirit still exists today and influences people and influences their thinking. We can see in Jezebel's character this domineering, manipulative character trait, which is very ugly in any person. It certainly is very ugly in a woman, and it had a devastating impact on Jezebel's husband, Ahab. I doubt that Ahab would have been quite as sold out to do evil had he married a different wife who had respect and honor for God, because Jezebel was an idol worshiper and brought the idolatrous worship of Baal into Israel, and Ahab also built a temple for Jezebel, for Baal worship, and she was a person that supplied the priests of Baal at the king's table. So she fed them, housed them, took care of them, because she was a promoter of this idolatrous worship. And we can see her influence, very negative influence, upon her husband Ahab. And probably most outstanding in that influence was the story that we heard today about the vineyard of Naboth, who had a beautiful vineyard right near the palace in Samaria where King Ahab and Jezebel lived. He was coveting that vineyard, the king was, and he approached Naboth to buy it from him. But Naboth refused to sell it on grounds that it was an inheritance. And according to the Hebrew law, when originally the lands were divided up there in the promised land to the Israelites, the law of Moses stated that the lands that were divided among the tribes and then given to the individual clans were to stay in the family and not sold off except in case of extreme poverty of the owner. And then it would be allowable to sell, but it would then have to revert back to the original owner during the year of Jubilee. So the answer of declining to sell the property to King Ahab on the part of Naboth was actually done out of a religious conviction that he could not give up the inheritance of his fathers. He was well aware that once it became part of the king's possession, it would never be returned in the year of Jubilee. So he politely declined on the basis of the scripture. Well, of course, King Ahab had no concern about that. He didn't have any respect for that. And he was just mad and sullen and depressed when Naboth wouldn't sell his vineyard so he could have a vegetable garden. So he's at home, sulking in his bed with his face turned toward the wall when his wife Jezebel came in and asked him, "Why is your spirit so troubled that you don't eat any food?" And he answered her that he couldn't buy the vineyard from Naboth the Jezreelite. Jezebel's answer was revealing of her character. First of all, she sort of mocks him or ridicules him with an expression of obvious contempt for the way that he's behaving when she says, "Do you not govern Israel? Arise, eat food, let your heart be happy." So she's kind of ridiculing him for his very wimpy attitude, curling up in a ball and sullen, resentful, immature reaction to the whole situation. But she has a rather evil plan on how to resolve it. So first of all, we see her sort of ridiculing her husband. You could tell her lack of respect for him. And you can also tell that she has this sense of power and dominion. And she's going to dominate the situation by dealing with it herself. And she says, "I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So we see her grabbing the power in the situation, because the scripture goes on to tell us that she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. So first of all, she takes over the authority. So we're seeing domination, we're seeing manipulation. She seals him with the king's seal as if she's the king. And she sends them to the elders and the nobles who dwell in the city with Naboth. And in those letters, we know that she set up a situation that would frame Naboth with a crime which was worthy of death. And that was that he blasphemed God and he blasphemed the king, which were basically death penalty situations. And she knew she had to have two or more witnesses, so she had the elders get some false witnesses lined up to say these words. And this way, she was going to have Naboth murdered through deception, manipulation, lying, and all because she has this Jezebel spirit, the spirit of manipulation and control. And we see it operating in full force with this situation when she has Naboth, the Jezreelite, killed so that she can take control of his property, that vineyard near the palace, and give it to her husband. So to me, this story really illustrates the character of Jezebel and the spirit that's behind Jezebel. And I've seen this same spirit operating today in families, in marriages, and even in churches. And it's a very unclean spirit. It's a spirit that's completely anti-Christ, because Christ's spirit is a spirit of love, honor, respect, blessing, grace, mercy, compassion. And the spirit of Jezebel is the complete opposite. There's no respect for anyone. There's pure greed and self-interest that's operating, where this person who is being influenced by a Jezebel spirit will manipulate, lie, deceive to get what they want. And it truly is an antichrist spirit. And what does it look like in our society today? It operates in marriages, for example, when there is a wife that tries to control her husband. She may do it in a number of different ways. One common way of doing it is by berating the husband verbally, ridiculing him, making fun of him, mocking him, deriding him for his failures, making him feel very insecure, making him feel very disrespected, to the point where the husband feels just weak and impotent in the relationship. And then the woman who's trying to dominate the relationship will try to control everything that relates to that marriage, whether it's the money, how the children are raised, what relations they have with other people outside. And it's a very unclean spirit that's operating, and it's very deceptive, and it's also a very brutal spirit, because it brings with it really a spirit of hate that's behind it that hurts people so deeply. I've seen this spirit operating with parents and children when the parent doesn't have a sense of how to teach the children what is right in the eyes of God and how to behave and how to exercise self-control. Because the parent wants to control their behavior, they will attempt to manipulate the children by bribery, for example, or threats. And that type of behavior also has a Jezebel flavor to it. You never want to try to get your children to do what you want them to do by bribing them with food or gifts or promises of going to the zoo or any other type of bribe to try to change their behavior, because that is a type of manipulation. That isn't teaching, that isn't training, that isn't discipline that will ever produce something good in your child. And yet I've seen many parents resort to that because they don't know what else to do, so they attempt to manipulate the child, sometimes even using their intellect instead of teaching their intellect to distract the child. It's all manipulation. They're just trying to manipulate the child's behavior rather than teaching them, training them, and disciplining them when that is needed. You don't want to fall into that type of a pattern when you're raising children. It will absolutely hurt the children. They will become manipulators with one another, with you. It will be very bad fruit that is born from that type of parenting. But it's a Jezebel spirit. Anytime you have a spirit of manipulation, going on, trying to change somebody's behavior by manipulation, that's a Jezebel spirit operating. I've seen parents of adult children use this by trying to control what their adult children do by guilting them, trying to get them to do what they want, spend the holidays with the family by guilting them into it, trying to get them not to move away when they've accepted a job in another city, trying to guilt them into staying in the same city, things like that. That is also a manipulative spirit that is hearkens to Jezebel. Another character quality that Jezebel displayed was using fear to control. Remember the threats we heard about yesterday that were made against the prophet Elijah? She hated Elijah, and she threatened to have his head that very day when she heard about the Baal priests all being killed after the big confrontation on Mount Carmel. Jezebel always uses fear to try to control people. And I have seen wives intentionally threaten to leave their husbands to inspire fear in their husbands to get them to act differently. That's giving in to a Jezebel spirit. If you try to control people by trying to inspire fear of losing you or having you leave them, that is giving into that spirit of manipulation that Jezebel used in her lifetime. We don't want to have that spirit operating through us in any relationship that we have. Another classic example of manipulation in marriage that is similar to this Jezebel spirit being behind it is when a spouse will withhold affection or intimacy from their spouse until that other spouse does what they want. You can just sleep on the couch until you do what I want you to do. That would be manipulation, control, and the spirit of Jezebel operating. It's not always and only women that fall prey to this spirit, but it does seem to be a particular weakness of women to be tempted in this area of being influenced by a Jezebel spirit. If you're a wife who really has to have the last word on everything, harasses your husband until you get your way, won't let your husband rest until he gives in to what you want, and you're one of those women who uses that expression, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy, that's a controlling spirit. That's a manipulation spirit trying to control the household, trying to make everyone walk on eggshells around you until you get what you want, you have people acting the way you want. Don't use that method of operating in your relationships. It's really coming from an unclean spirit. And then for the men, the husband who gives in to keep the peace in the house to the domineering, controlling wife is literally becoming an Ahab. Ahab is the one who gives power or authority to Jezebel. If Ahab, the historical King Ahab, had not allowed Jezebel to dominate him and do the things that she did, including having all the prophets of God killed that she could locate, he could have stopped that, but he did not. He stepped back. He let her do what she want. He essentially gave power or authority to Jezebel by his lack of doing anything to stop her. Any husband who gives in to keep the peace in the house because they have a domineering wife is becoming an Ahab. And that is a very sad statement, but it's not right in the eyes of God. God does not want that type of marriage relationship. It's completely unclean, and it's really being influenced by a Jezebel and an Ahab spirit. There are many other examples of this Jezebel spirit operating, even in churches, such as people in a church who feel they know better than the pastor, and they go around creating strife in the camp in order to try to manipulate the situation to either get the pastor removed or to manipulate him into doing what they want. That's also a type of Jezebelian activity, as well as people who try to prophesy to people, and I mean that with not in the true sense of prophesying, but they prophesy to people what they think that person ought to be doing or not doing, and say it as if it was a word from God. That is manipulation and almost witchcraft. That is so unclean and so displeasing to the Lord, ever using the word of the Lord as a way to manipulate people to do something that you think they should be doing. We have to really be careful with this type of thing, because it is something very, very displeasing to the Lord. God wants us to walk with a clean heart, with the right spirit within us, with a spirit of love and honor and respect for people. You don't have to agree with everyone. You'll never agree with everyone. You'll never agree with your pastor every time. But you can walk in love and walk in honor and walk in a way that is righteous in the eyes of God by not trying to manipulate situations and control situations, because that is truly not God's way of operating. So let's be wise about these things. And if you ever sense yourself being prompted to try to manipulate, get your own way with your own wiles or manipulative, deceptive type behavior, you need to repent. Ask the Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be a manipulator. I don't want to be a deceiver just to get my way. And ask the Lord's help so that you recognize when you're being tempted in that area, because it's not something you want to pursue. You don't want that growing in your life. You don't want your children picking up that same pattern and create problems for them as well. And it definitely will be no blessing in a marriage situation or in any family situation to have any member of the family operating with the Jezebel spirit. So let's be wise about that and take a lesson from this example of the Queen Jezebel and the King Ahab, who the Bible says no one had ever given themselves to do that much evil besides Ahab, who was incited, influenced, or prompted by his wife, Queen Jezebel. God bless you, and may the Lord give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.